So I want to welcome you. Thank you so much for coming in. Obviously you've seen me kind of running around. I'm helping here with the retreat. I spend most of my time at home with my kids. I have a 5, almost 4, and a 2-year-old. And I've been able to do some kind of work, like while I'm with my kids, but most of my time I'm trying to spend with them. So I used to be a business owner. Now my husband and I are doing some real estate investing. I've become a certified financial coach. I've gotten my real estate license, and I've applied a lot of the stuff that I've learned, and the Lord's really blessed us. This area is just one of those practical parts of life that can be very overwhelming. And I really believe that out of control finances is keeping a lot of people from the purpose that God has for them. I think that there's a calling that people can't really step into because they're so overwhelmed by this part of their life. And so it's something that I'm really passionate about. I feel like I could talk all day about it. I'm going to try to let you have like at least a half hour of your free time. Yeah. So yeah, I just think that this is such a practical way to make room for the Lord to work in your life. So with that, I just want to talk a little bit about just some really practical things. If you're feeling like your finances are out of control, we're going to talk a little bit about how to get some clarity and gain control of your finances and why that matters. So there's a handout on there. You can follow along with me. So there are three, that says money mistakes. I don't know that that's really the right word. There are the three most common money problems is an inability to save. It seems like you have a good month. You didn't spend everything that you made. You were able to put some money away into a savings account. The next month or two, something comes up and it's gone. Everything that you've, like, you start to make some progress, and you just can't get past like a certain number before you need to dip into your savings, and then it's gone and you feel like you're starting over again. So there's an inability to save, you're in debt, and you can't seem to get out. It's like you make a little bit of progress, but you're putting so much of your income toward paying off debts that then when something happens, like you need to replace your tires, repair your washer or dryer, just like everyday life, we're not even talking about living luxury and in excess. Just when life happens, it knocks us right back into debt and we can't seem to get out, and we don't really, it's a problem. You struggle to get out completely. You might make some progress, but then you kind of can feel like you're knocked right back where you started. So there's an inability to save, you're in debt and you can't seem to get out. And then the other thing is you just overspend. And by that, I mean you're spending more than you're making. And that's just because we live in a really expensive city. There's just so many needs. Kids need a lot of stuff. There's all this stuff that we have to spend on. But it's just like, even if we're trying to be disciplined, it's like, why does it seem like I'm always spending more than I'm making or more than I budgeted, or like we're going further into debt because we're just trying to survive and we're overspending? These three problems, any one of these, an inability to save, you're in debt and you can't seem to get out, or you feel like it's just a struggle, you're spending more than you should be spending and you know it. It's that all of that, any one of those would create a sense of anxiety, fear, you're overwhelmed, feel like anxious about the future. It causes just a sense of being overwhelmed with life. And that feeling can be really crippling when you like avoid checking your bank account balance because you're really nervous about what it's going to say. Or you go to check it and it's not the number that you thought it was. That can be terrifying. And so as a result, we just kind of feel stuck here and we don't know why. And I think I have an idea why. When our finances feel like a mess, I want you to consider this. Most of the time, all of your money comes in via direct deposit. Very few people actually receive a paycheck anymore, right? Whether you're on some kind of a fixed income, where you're receiving benefits, often that's direct deposited. A lot of paychecks are direct deposited. Even if you have a salary, there are different factors and reasons. Even like, you know, if it's a pretty, it's a set amount, there can be reasons why that amount would change. Maybe they've increased the employee contribution for your benefits, for your health insurance. So now your paycheck has changed and you didn't even realize that they, how much it changed. You kind of remember what it was the last time you looked, but oftentimes it goes in direct deposit. And if we're anxious about what's in our bank, all we know is that we got paid and we're okay to live life, do what we need to do. So money goes out, like you might pull out some cash. We're using our credit card to get some points so that we can go on that vacation we've been trying to go on. We use our debit card. We have a lot of our bills on auto pay. You don't even realize how much your energy bill was because it's just automatically coming out. We didn't actually put in the amount and pay it. So we have our bills on auto pay. We might even write a personal check. There's not a lot of those anymore. So many things in our society are designed to make managing your finances much more convenient. Like automatic, oh, I'll even put that, auto transfers to like another account. There are all these different ways. The money comes in a way that you might not have even looked at the amount that was on your paycheck. You just have an idea, a ballpark of usually what it is. We start paying our bills. We go to buy groceries. We get gas. We're just living life. But it's all this money is coming out all of these different ways. It's no wonder that we feel like we don't know where our money went because it went out 10 different ways. And the way that it came in, we didn't even really look at. So when you take all of this together, it makes sense why you're struggling to save. You're in debt and you can't seem to get out. And you find yourself spending more than you wanted to, whether you're spending more than you earn or you're just spending more than you planned. That happens because our money is leaking out so many different ways. And it comes out for a number of different reasons. So, let me move this actually. We've got all the stuff that we often think of. There are recurring expenses. That's things like your rent or your mortgage, insurance premiums, like utilities, different things like that. It's often a set amount with the exception of some of your bills. Like your internet's always going to be the same amount until they bump it up after a year or whatever slide moves they use. Yeah, it's crazy how much we're all spending. Yeah. So there's like these recurring expenses, and then we have our day-to-day spending. Those are the things that fluctuate. That's stuff like gas, groceries, clothing for your family, like eating out, which you are allowed to do. I'm not going to tell you that you are not allowed to spend money. Like any kind of activity or going out, like anything like that would be like the day-to-day spending. That is like the nickel and dime. We're using cash. We're using a credit card. We're using a debit card. Like just for all sorts of random things. And then this is the one that really does us in. It's irregular. Or like random expenses. Don't hold that against me. So this is the stuff that comes up like once a year. Things like registration, property taxes. Maybe you pay your auto insurance every 6 months or year. Like these, even things like replacing your tires or getting an oil change. Like those kinds of things for your vehicle are not repairs. That's not the unexpected. It's actually maintenance. It's something that if we thought further down the road, we could have seen it coming. I mean, it's not a total blindside, but because it doesn't happen every single month, we don't think about it. We look at our bank account, or we have an idea of how much our bills are for each month, and we spend accordingly. We're not thinking in terms of a year, when even if you have a budget, these things can really blindside us if they're not included in a budget. So you find yourself overwhelmed when a $500 or $600 item, a $2,000 item comes along that we weren't prepared for because it's irregular and it's random. Those are the kinds of big sporadic expenses that can really do us in and make us feel completely out of control. These are the kinds of expenses that if you have managed to save anything, it wipes it out. You made a little bit of progress. Well, now you've got a huge expense that came along. But the reality is most of those random and irregular expenses are not unexpected. We just didn't prepare for them. We didn't plan for them. So, I mean, the truth is, like, you can look at all of this and you can see, okay, like, you need a budget. And that's nothing new. I'm not going to go really in depth about how to create a budget. It's relatively simple. There's the Dave Ramsey class that's coming up. That's a great place to go if you want to, like, really dig into that and do more. We're going to be offering a biblical money mindset course where we'll have a ton of resources. We'll talk more about a budget. So because this is a breakout and there are other resources, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go really crazy into that. But I will say this. If you find that this is you, these are some problems. Like I said, any one of these would create a lot of stress and anxiety, fear, worry, panic. Any one of these one issues would. But the reality is they often come all together. They go hand in hand. So then when you're looking at all three of these together, it feels so big, like it's too much. It's not even that I can't get out of debt, but I can't even think about saving. I mean, it's just, it creates a snowball that can just become too much. And all three of these problems can be saved with a budget that's more comprehensive. So all that I'll say about a budget, and then we'll move on, is this. Is if you find that you're here, this is totally you. You're like, yeah, I know my pay dates, and then all the money goes out, and it's going out a number of different ways. Here's what I would say. I would encourage you, one, to try to minimize the ways that your money is going out. So things like these recurring expenses, if you are using a credit or a debit card, I mean, this is like the kind of stuff that's budgeted. Dave Ramsey's really hardcore, like never use a credit card. Honestly, I mean, if you were to use a card for something that is in your budget that you were going to pay anyway, and you were going to pay it off just like you would your bills, I'm okay with that. But if you know yourself and you shouldn't really have a credit card right now, the alternative is a debit card. But I would actually encourage you, if you're trying to get your stuff under control, to take everything off of auto pay. Because let's say that in your mind you think, okay, my paycheck was $2,500 or whatever. My rent is $1,200, and then I'm going to spend about $300 on groceries, and my SDG&E bill is usually about $100. Yeah, it's about $100 in the spring and the fall, but what about when you're running your heat or when you're running your air? That number that you had in your mind of $100 turned into $250 or $300. I mean, it just depends on how much you run your air. Honestly, I don't run it that much. But like, whatever you had in your mind is not actually what you paid, but it's on auto pay. You didn't even really look at it. You just know that it's taken care of. It's too out of sight, out of mind. And that's when this things start to feel out of control, because you're surprised when you look at it. When you look at your bank account, it's not what you thought. You know that your SDG&E went through. You thought it was one amount, but when you look this month, it happened to be a lot more. When we're not looking because we're scared, that compounds the fear. It's really just a matter of starting to look can bring an unbelievable amount of peace. You're not looking because you're freaked out and you're scared, but not looking is creating less and less like control. You don't have a handle. You don't even know what's coming in or coming out. You look at it and you think, oh, I've got this much money. But then let's say you forgot about a recurring bill that you had on auto pay. So you go spend everything that you saw in your bank account. But then 3 days later, like let's say you didn't even just spend it on fun. You went to the grocery store and you think it's Monday. well, I get paid on Friday. I'm going to go ahead and buy groceries today, and I need to get gas in the next couple days. That'll get me through till my paycheck. Well, then you forget about a recurring bill that's on auto pay that went through on Wednesday. When you need gas on Thursday to get to work, you don't have the money because everything is out of sight, out of mind. You might just take a quick glance at your balance, but even that's not the whole picture. So all of this stuff, I would just say, you have to start by just looking. Just look, and that alone will bring a tremendous amount of freedom and peace. Take things at least temporarily off of auto pay and enter in your payments manually. You're going to have to look at when that bill is due because they're all due different days just to make it confusing and stressful. But I mean, just a short time of doing that will help. Day-to-day spending, that's the kind of stuff that, as a rule, Dave Ramsey says, like, use cash. I use him as an example because his method, we have the class here. It's something that everyone's very familiar with, and it makes a lot of sense. This is the, like I said, groceries, gas, spending money, going and getting coffee, whatever it is. Like, that's the stuff, if you can use cash, you should. I like to pull out cash once a week. So then I just know. If I had my cash for the month, honestly, I am a spender by nature. If I had my cash for the month, by week three, I'd be like, oh man, guess we're not eating because I went to Target or whatever. Like, you just, it's really easy to spend the money because I have it. I know that about myself. So my solution to that is just to pull out cash once a week. So now it's not just, well, I mean, I just got paid. I have the money for it. I can afford it. So I'm going to do X, Y, or Z. It's, I'm out of cash. So I guess I'm going to do that next week. That helps me to really know whether or not I can afford something. And with good reason. Cash, you see how fast it goes. And the reality is it's not going faster because you spent cash. You're just more aware because your wallet's empty. It was going just as fast, likely even faster when you're swiping a debit card and you're not even really thinking about where the money's going. But this, it's just a really practical way to get a visual, a read on where your money's going, and to make some changes. And then the irregular random stuff. So when I say a more comprehensive budget, I will say this. If you have zero budget and you just don't even know where to start, I would encourage you to print out your bank statements, credit card statements. A lot of people make a habit of using credit cards to spend just so that they get the points. Like, they're not out of control spending, but they might be spending more than they actually have because it's not a debit card attached to their bank. It's this other random card, and they feel like they have enough, but they really don't. Anyway, so print out whatever your method of spending. I would recommend that you print out 3 months worth of statements and just itemize every single thing. You will be surprised at how many times you're swiping your card because you're like, dang, there's like a lot of work here. Well, that just goes to show there's a lot to categorize. Like, there's a lot of spending happening and we want to get a handle on it. And you don't need to do it forever. I would just say starting with 3 months, itemizing every single transaction. It'll take you, honestly, a few hours, but the peace that it'll bring when you look at all the numbers, it's worth the few hours. I mean, you can even do it while the TV's on if you really like, you know, like, you want to kind of relax a little bit. It'll feel less like work if you do it in a way that's more enjoyable and less stressful. But then when it comes to this kind of stuff, the irregular and random expenses, most of them are often on an annual basis. Things like vehicle registration, a tax bill, a premium that's due. Most of that stuff is, if you were to look through, you don't need to itemize the entire year, but once you've kind of categorized every expense over 3 months, that gives you an idea of how much you're actually spending on things like groceries and gas, how much you can assume that your utility bills are going to be. Things like mortgage or rent, those don't change. There's lots of things like that, different subscriptions, stuff like that. It's just a set amount. So those are easy. But the things that you might think you're spending X amount on groceries, And then you'll discover that you're actually spending more than you realized. Because you go to the grocery store once a week, but then one other random day of the week you forgot something, so you go to pick one thing up and it turns into 10. And now you didn't just spend $5, you spent 40. Well, if you do that every week, at some point in the week, in addition to the larger grocery haul, that's $160 a month that you weren't really accounting for. You're just in your head thinking, when I go for our weekly groceries, it's usually X, but it's not really taking into account any additional trip. That's truly how much you're spending on groceries. And that's not a problem, but if you don't know, then you're feeling overwhelmed because you don't know where your money went. So 3 months of categorizing, review 12 months of statements to see how much did I spend on oil changes this year, like vehicle maintenance, home repairs, household items, like the stuff like toilet paper, paper towels, trash bags, dish soap. Maybe you throw that in there with your groceries. Maybe that's separate. You know, however you're spending, whatever your categories are, if you don't know, you can't budget them. So this is where people kind of go into a panic, because when you're creating a more comprehensive budget that includes all of those things, so like when you take an annual expense, let's say that you're, whatever, membership. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like your Costco membership, AAA. Yeah, those are a couple that right there between the two of them are $200. Well, that doesn't seem like a lot except for the months that you pay it, and then it throws your whole budget out of whack. So if you just set aside, you said, I'm going to set aside $25 a month for memberships. My auto insurance, I pay $600 twice a year. So I need to set aside $100 a month for my auto insurance. My vehicle registration is $250, so I'm going to set aside $20 for that. Then you got to think about Christmas. Christmas is not a surprise. And it should be fun. It should not be stressful. But if you're not thinking about it until November, it's overwhelming. And that's when things go on a credit card and we go further into debt because it's Christmas. You got to do X, Y, and Z. That's just what you have to do. Well, if you're thinking about it in February and you're budgeting, let's say, $50 a month for Christmas, now it's fun come November or December. You're not spending $500 that you don't really have and overwhelmed. But here's the kicker. When you start to do things like that, when you put all of these annual expenses in alongside your day-to-day spending and your recurring bills, you will probably find that you do not have enough money. You might find that you spend more in the year than you actually are bringing home, which is why you're feeling all of these things and you're overwhelmed. So there are two levers that we can pull for that. One is we can reduce our spending. The other is that we can increase our income. If that means even just temporarily, like if you're like, I want to work a little bit of extra work just to get my Christmas fund for the year fully funded, do that. Like, it doesn't have to be all the time, but if there's like a couple big expenses that you want to just do a little bit of extra work or something, like that's an option. We can increase our income, which I know is like easier said than done, and that might be really frustrating for me to say, but we'll talk a little bit more about it probably at the end. Or we can find ways to reduce our spending. When you start tracking your spending for 3 months, you go, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that Fabletics subscription. I have a friend who was subscribed for $50 a month to Fabletics, like, you know, those 2 for $24 leggings. She had spent $600 over a year on leggings, a legging subscription. Didn't buy any after the 2 for $24. $600 just gone in the year because she was so anxious about her finances, she was too scared to look. Well, that's $50 a month. That's a tank of gas. That's some, like, when you start to just look, you uncover things like that that are, it's not just about, like, don't spend on anything and be miserable. It's like, let's find where the holes are and plug them up. If you're afraid to look, you're never going to find them, and then the money just keeps leaking, and you don't know why.
It happened to me with Melaleuca.
Yes.
It happened to me.
A lot of subscriptions, a lot of stuff like that's really sneaky. That's why I would encourage you not to do auto pay, so that you can avoid that. There's a lot of really sneaky stuff. Or you're like, when I signed up for my internet, it was $49 and now I'm paying $89. It's almost double, but I budgeted $50. No wonder, like, there's all these little things. When we just look, it brings a lot of freedom. So when you take an honest look at all of your expenses and when you create a budget, you start to save money. You can start to pay off debt because you're focused. You know where your money's going. And you can reduce overspending because you actually know what you're spending money on. And that is when you find that you have a sense of peace and you start to feel like you've really got a handle on your finances. And that all sounds really good, except that it's hard to do. It's really hard to make the changes, and it's not easily done like, oh, I just need to do it, so I'm going to. Obviously, if we could have, we would have, right? So it takes more than just this knowledge. What I just told you, I don't think is anything new. I mean, it's like looking at it all together, and we talked about some practical stuff, but until your mindset changes, this is really hard to change. It's really hard to reduce your spending, to tell yourself no, so that you can get to a place where you feel like you have control and you can make decisions from a place of security and not panic. We're no longer making decisions because of a surprise or out of like an emergency. We've planned, we're prepared, and we feel secure. It's really hard to get past the time of transitioning to having control until we change our mindset. So that is what we're going to talk about. What you have to understand is that your money equals time. Time is money, right? We've all heard that. Time is money. Money cost you time. Unless you are like born into like some kind of trust fund where you're just making passive income and you've never had to work a day in your life, each one of us goes to work or does something for money. That is how the money comes in. And trust me when I say there is plenty of work that is worth a lot and we're not getting paid for it. That's just reality. But as far as like income goes, time equals money. It's a trade-off. When you have a paycheck coming in, it costs you 2 weeks of your life to get the 10 days of the last 2 weeks of your life. The best hours of the day you gave away to get a paycheck. And here's the other thing. You know, there's some people who might make more per hour, and that's a whole separate issue. You know, maybe their income is higher, but the reality is we all have the same amount of time in a day, in a week, in a year. We all get the same amount. And once we've given it away to a job or to a debt, which we'll talk about in a minute, you will never get it back. Nobody will. So what we don't want to do is start giving away precious time that we could be spending with our friends, our family, doing things that we love, overspending on things that honestly don't really matter to us. We have to change our mindset. I want this shirt while I'm walking by it at Target. It's only $25. Let's say that after taxes and all like work-related expenses, that's 2 working hours. Well, is it worth 2 hours? I mean, like, would you be willing to go to work right then to work 2 extra hours to buy that shirt or whatever it is? You know, when you start thinking in terms, you are giving something else up to have whatever it is you're spending on. There are some things we can't get out of. You know, if we want power or running water, we've got to pay the bill. Unless your house is paid off, you're paying rent or mortgage. You know, there's some of that stuff that is, those are like our basic necessities, water, food, clothing, shelter. I'm not saying skimp on that. Like, well, I want to go on a trip to the Bahamas, so I'm just not going to pay my rent. I don't think your landlord would go for that. You're like, I value my me time. They don't care. So I'm not necessarily saying that we can always choose, but where we can choose, we need to start thinking, is this worth the time I'm giving up to have this thing? And some things, yeah, like a cup of coffee, if it really means a lot to you, I'm not going to say that like you can't have it or do it. I don't think that. But when we create a habit of just spending because the money's there, we don't realize what we're actually giving up. We're giving up time for something that may or may not be worth the time that it cost us. So when we apply this concept to accruing debt, we find that the next villain is debt is robbing you. Debt is like highway robbery, because not only are you paying whatever the price was for the item, there is interest accruing as you're paying it off. Debt is a slippery slope, and it is... Okay, let's think about it this way. Like, let's think about a car. A car, you think, we think in terms often of, can I afford the payment? Can I afford $250 a month? Yeah, well, then I can afford this car, this $20,000 car, which you're not really paying $20,000 on. You're actually paying much more when you take into account all the interest that's being paid. And when you translate all of that with interest included, it's not just the monthly payment, like that translates to 10 hours a month. It is months of your working life that you are giving away. You are selling yourself into servitude for whatever it is that you went into debt for. Mm-hmm.
The thing to think about with that is if they say, oh, we'll lower your payment, you can have 7 years to pay it off. That means you're paying $10,000 extra.
More. They're making more. They're happy to extend your term. Yes. Yeah. And that's so true, because that's what they'll say. And then you think, oh, I can afford it. Maybe you can afford it. Month to month, you can make the payment. Is it really worth the time that you're giving up? When we start to think about money in terms of time that we're giving away, does that debt represent your values? That's what we have to start thinking, and that's what we have to start asking ourselves when we make those kinds of debt purchases. So here's an example in your notes that we can look at. Looking at the impact of compound interest for better or for worse. So let's say that you have a $5,000 credit card debt, and you are like minimum payment of $35 a month. That's like nothing. 2 hours a month. I can pay that. That's really, it's worth it to me. That trip, that $5,000 trip that I went on was so worth it. Or whatever the big expense was, whatever that $5,000 could be last year, or whenever the money is already spent. But $35 a month, that feels like nothing. So we don't really think twice. It would take you 176 months to pay that off, which is just shy of 15 years. And if you think about a 22% interest card, a lot of credit cards are in the 20s. They start with a 0% APR introductory offer for the first 6 months. As soon as that 6 months is up, you are paying 20%+ on that credit card. So you take your $5,000 balance, let's say, even if you never charge the card again, but you have $5,000 in debt, $35 a month sounds like nothing, but that $5,000 accrued $6,676 in interest, which makes the total that you paid $11,676. That is months of your life right there. This was not the two, like you're thinking 2 hours a month. Over 176 months. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of time that you just gave away. Hope the Bahamas was beautiful, because it's really, really expensive. That trip became so much more. So when we look at debt being like we're selling ourselves, the debtor, or no, wait, what's the, okay, I'm going to say it wrong. The debtor is slave to the master. I don't know why I cannot get that out. Yeah, it's in Proverbs 18, I think 22. It's so true. You have already sold yourself to your master. Whoever you are in debt to, whoever you owe money to, you literally are their slave. You're not working for yourself. You're working for them to pay them back months over years. I mean, just looking at this little debt, it's almost 15 years to pay it off. Something on your mind for 15 years? That's crazy. In this case, interest is compounding, and it's working against you. We need to start seeing how we're spending our money, like that is months of your life that you could have spent with your family. You could have been doing something that you really love to do. You could have been serving at church. You could have been hanging out with friends. You could have been doing whatever you wanted. Instead, you gave those months away to whoever you owe. We have to see money that way, and we have to get angry enough that we're willing to do whatever it takes, even if it requires a lot of intensity, to gain control of these three problems. So it really starts here. We have to change the way that we're spending, and we have to increase our income if we can. You know, what it depends on kind of your financial situation, and everybody's is different. But there are so many ways to make extra money, even temporarily. If you have a product that you use and you really love, there are tons of people who sell like products that they believe in. What's that called? MLMs, like multi-level marketing. I mean, say what you will, people can, why not get that product that you love for free and giving it to people that you love if you really like it? That's one way to make extra money. You can review TV shows. You can watch the shows you like and get paid to review them. You can test websites and make $10 in 10 minutes. You can drive for Uber. You can deliver for Amazon. If you want to get out of this hole and you're angry enough and you're tired of being, here's the pen, fooled, at least for a time, you'll do whatever it takes. We have to be mad enough about all the time that we're losing on things that don't really matter to us. That's where we have to change our mindset to really start to gain control and have the peace that that's possible in our financial situation. And from there, it starts to be really fun. Once we do that, we change our mindset around how we spend. If we can afford the payment, it doesn't really seem that expensive. And we think bigger picture. We get outside of thinking month to month, and we start thinking year to year or decade to decade. We can gain control, and we have freedom. And when you do that, you can start to make financial decisions not based on whether or not you can afford the payment, but based on your values and your priorities. So what would that look like to you? What are some things that would be important to any one of you guys? If you could choose how you spent your money, what would you be spending your money on? Any ideas?
Eating out.
Eating out. You'd be like, when I go out, I want to really enjoy it. I need a break. I feel that. If it was up to me, we'd eat out a lot. But we don't. Okay, so eating out. You're like, that's important to me. I need a break. I want to enjoy a meal. I don't want to dread all the cleanup. I just want a night off, and I want to go out. Okay, eating out. That brings value to your life because you're willing to trade what it costs for that time with a shared meal. That's a value.
Mm-hmm. I would say, like, being able to be a gift giver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you don't spend because you're afraid you're not going to have enough. But if you're wise, then you are able to give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you want to tithe, but you're scared because you don't have enough money. You don't feel like that's something that you can afford. You would be really surprised once you start doing this how things change. It doesn't make sense, but it does. I mean, this is the one time that I can think of in the Bible where God says we can test him. Test me in this. See if I will not pour out blessing and abundance. I will overflow your storehouses. Give me what is mine. Acknowledge that it all already belonged to me, and I'll know that I can trust you. And it is really, that's not a guarantee for like wealth, but it's interesting how things get taken care of when you do that. And what else would you want to spend on?
Mm-hmm. When you were saying that you give yourself an allowance every week, basically, you mm-hmm. cash out every week. So when I was first married, that's what I did. I would say, okay, I have this amount of money every week that I get to take out. I can spend it on gas. I can spend it on groceries, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if at the end of that week I still had money left over because I didn't spend it all, I either put that in a Christmas savings or I would not take out the same amount the next week.
So I never, so you really end up with more money than what, because you don't have to spend everything you take out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of a fun challenge. Like, yeah. how much can I have at the end of a month? Right. And it gets you some of that stuff that you really want.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like when you get, so this is something my mom is, she never made that much. You know, she's older now, I guess she used to pay like $215 or something, the probation department. But she saved, I mean, she's been retired for years, and she's taking care of herself. She has savings, she has money. There'll be an inheritance probably, that kind of stuff. But she's trying anyway. And but what's one of the things she said is when she get a raise every year, she never spent it.
Mm-hmm.
She always kept putting whatever the raise was, she kept living at the same level.
Mm-hmm. Income. Yeah, and that's a really good discipline. And that's what's a really slippery slope is this idea of like lifestyle creep. We adjust our lifestyle with our income. Because I think in most fields, over time, even if you don't get a raise every year, over even just a few years, you'll find that you're making a little bit more than you did a few years before. So, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing, you shouldn't bank on it. Like, well, I'm going to be making money, so I'm going to charge my card now. I'm not saying that. But, like, when you anticipate that, create like a savings plan. Like, okay, with my raise, I'm going to save for a car because my car is okay now, but in a few years, I'm going to need to replace it. When you have control of your finances and you start to look a little bit further down the road, you can prepare for stuff like that. And that's a really good way to save, like a really easy way to save. Just because you have more, don't spend it all. Like my son, Oliver, yesterday, he was like, I got money, I need to spend it. I'm like, no. What about like vacations? What if vacation is something that you'd really like to do, but you find yourself saying, we can't afford that. I'd love to go there, but we can't afford it. Or whatever it is that you really want to do, but you find yourself saying, but we can't afford it. I'll put that down as something. Is there anything else that's really important to you guys that if you could, you would spend money on? Values and priorities? Those can be anything. There's no right or wrong.
Well, I'm thinking, in fact, I was having a talk with my son. He's like, well, I can't come visit you without, because I have four granddaughters.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole family is like, there's no room, you know, at your place. So he was trying to encourage me to get a place that was big enough to house all of them so he could come and stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is like kind of my thing now is I'd like to get... get my finances in order first, and then that would be a goal. And Italy. That's another.
Take me with you to Italy. Is that what you said? Italy? Yeah. So, like you said, room for family. But even with that time, what you really want is time with your family. We want more time. We don't want to feel like we live in a city where it's really challenging to be home with your kids. At the last breakout session, one girl who's single, she said, I'm saving so that when I get married and I hope I can, you know, Lord willing, I have kids, I want to be able to be home with them. So I'm trying to create ways to like generate a little bit of passive income, which is like a whole other thing we could talk all day about, but we want to start here. Getting control so you could start to think that far down the road. I mean, that was a real desire for her. I don't want to assume I'm marrying JP Moneybags, you know, like that. We don't know what the income's going to be with something like that. That's so unknown. But she was saying, this is important to me. Yeah.
There's also, like, say for going on trips and stuff, like there's ways to like finance it. Like this Groupon. For like me time, like massages and like financing like trips, have like getaway thing for a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
So, even like prioritizing, it could be like, you know, you don't need to go to like a whole extreme, like, oh, this person went here, but like find something that's fun that you're able to afford and you're still able to do those things, but you can find different ways to do them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so even like with that, I'll say experiences, I guess that's one way to put it. Yeah, there's way, when you're kind of thinking long-term, you can be on the lookout for deals or ways to save money to get the things that actually really do matter to you. So all of this is a ton of information and kind of like overwhelming, but, and it's like, we want to get here And we have to kind of start by looking over here and changing our mindset.